The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Edition of the show all together now. That's right. You heard me, Mandy Connell. I'm your host for the next 3 hours. And you also heard Dave, the intrepid producer, with a very enthusiastic TGIF yell there. Hi, Dave.
Hello. It's funny, you know, we're all thrilled it's Friday, but we had a thing on the blog today. People are scared of Mondays.
We do. We're going to, that story made me sad, Dave. As they say in the South, when you hear something sad and you say it, somebody tells you something sad in the South, you just go, that hurts my heart. It just hurts my heart to hear that. And that's how I felt about the story about the scary Sundays. And we're going to,
it didn't surprise me though.
No, it didn't me. I used to be one of these people. Before I got to do the job that I'm doing now. But it can happen if you don't have a Monday through Friday schedule. It happens whatever days you have off. I used to have a Tuesday, Wednesday schedule.
I had it when I went to school, I remember, big time.
Yeah, big time.
Sunday night, the Ed Sullivan Show, I was depressed.
I'm sure Ed appreciated that, Dave. I'm sure he did. Why do you watch the Ed Sullivan
Show
to be
tomorrow.
Depressed? Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you what's on the blog. We have a ton of guests today, and I want to start the show by saying I was not supposed to be here today. We were supposed to be traveling this weekend. We were going to visit a friend who is undergoing treatment for cancer. So she has a compromised immune system right now, and both Chuck and the Q have an epic summer cold. I mean, and we weren't sure it was a summer cold. Actually, Chuck went and got a Rona test just to make sure, even though we're vaccinated. He does not have the Rona. But we made an executive decision to not bring any germs to the immunocompromised person fighting cancer. We thought that that would be the right thing to do. So we're here today, and Lou from Littleton was supposed to fill in today. And Lou, I got to tell you guys, like, I love having people fill in for this show that take it seriously and want to not just keep the seat warm, but want to bring you great content. So Lou had already scheduled some excellent guests that I now have the benefit of being able to interview as we go into Memorial Day. But I just wanted to give a big shout out and a big thank you to Lou from Littleton, because, I mean, he's the kind of fill-in host that you dream of when you want to make sure everything. He and Mike Rosen, they schedule everything. They take care of it. I don't have to worry about them breaking anything while I'm gone. Right. I don't have to come back to to an email box full of, you know, disaster notes. So it's just really nice to have that going on. But now let me tell you where to find the blog. You can find it by going to KOANewsRadio.com, clicking on anything that says full schedule, Mandy Connell, or just look for the headline that says Mandy's Friday blog. Oh, hey, I am here after all. Let's kick off Memorial Day. Click on that, and here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South American. All the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, let's not forget what we are memorializing this weekend. David Roberts from Fort Logan National Cemetery at 12:35. Let's talk flags with Jack Tomczak from the Rocky Mountain Flag Company. Thirsty Thursday is now Frosty Friday at 2. If you've had COVID, your body can make antibodies for years. Speaking of COVID, Stephen Tubbs needs my prayerful types to help. Thank you for killing the attack on charter schools bill. Smoking cigs is still a thing for a lot of people. Are your Sundays ruined by the upcoming work week? This dog, though. CBS News admits that the Wuhan lab theory is a vindication of the Trump administration. Weird deep nostalgia tool brings dead soldiers back to life like. Colorado to provide free birth control to people here illegally. Banning plastic bags doesn't do what you think it does. And The Quiet Place 2 might be a winner. Those are the headlines on the blog on KOANewsRadio.com on the Mandy Connell page. And I had a misspelling in the title of the blog, so I will fix that. Going back up to the top, we have guests scheduled today to talk about Memorial Day related things. David Roberts from Fort Logan National Cemetery is at 12:35. Dave, have you ever gone to a military cemetery on Memorial Day where they flag all the gravestones?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's... No. It is in Louisville, Kentucky, where it was before here. Cave Hill Cemetery is absolutely, It sounds weird to say, the most beautiful cemetery I've ever seen is Cave Hill Cemetery. Rolling hills, big oak trees, water. I mean, it is gorgeous. It's definitely where you want to spend eternity. But every Memorial Day and Veterans Day, they go, there's an organization run by my friend Fred Moore called Flags for Vets. And he goes and flags all of the gravestones, and they have a military section of Cave Hill. And we did that many years in a row, and hundreds of people would come out, and you put the flag 1 foot away from the, meaning your actual foot, 1 foot away from the gravestone in the center. And when you stand back and you see all of the standard white headstones, because in a military graveyard, they have all the same headstones, you see the lines and lines and lines and lines of white headstones. And then you see the lines and lines and lines of American flags. And it will bring you back to the sacrifices that have been made in order to allow us the ability to sit on the radio and talk about all kinds of dumb crap and serious stuff and criticize our politicians and live freely in a society that may seem jacked up, but I still think is better than any other in the entire world, period. No matter what Prince Harry says about our First Amendment, I'm kind of fond of it. Super,
you know,
super
Mandy,
fond of it. Yeah.
Just from a standpoint of beauty, I think our flag is the most beautiful flag out there. I mean, it is a spectacular looking flag.
I think so, too. I truly, truly do.
The stars and stripes are special.
Yep. So we're going to talk to Dave Roberts from Fort Logan. They do a flagging every year. And even if you don't participate in the flagging, we're going to find out more about last year. It got canceled because of COVID. But this year, I'm relatively certain it's going to happen. If you happen to be in the area, drive by, drive through, and just look at it. It is a powerful reminder of what Memorial Day is all about. And Memorial Day is not to honor veterans, although you can always thank a veteran for their service. You can always, you know, always, whenever you want to express your gratitude to a veteran, knock yourself out. I think it needs to be done as often as possible. But it is to remember the people who never made it out of uniform. They died in the line of service. They died in an active duty. They died in a way that prevented them from ever being able to retire out of the military and be a veteran. That's what Memorial Day is all about. Now, we're going to talk flags with Jack Tomczak from the Rocky Mountain Flag Company at 1:35, because my husband, many military people are like this. I have come to understand my husband is a flag Nazi, and he gets so frustrated when he sees people displaying the flag incorrectly. It makes him absolutely insane. He's the guy, when he drives by a big car dealership, you know how they always have the giant American flag outside, and he sees one that's tattered, he will turn around, drive back, walk in, and speak to the general manager about getting a new flag. It makes him insane. So Jack Tomczak from the Rocky Mountain Flag Company is going to join us. We're going to talk about the proper way to display a flag, the proper way to dispose of a flag, and anything else you want to know about our beautiful flag. I happen to be in agreement with Dave that our flag is beautiful. It's a beautiful flag. It's powerful.
And you know, Mandy.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's great. I think if you contact your representative in Washington, you can get one of those flags that waves over the Capitol that go up and down.
Hold that
and
thought.
Those. Dave. Sure. I mean, that is a special kind of flag, and they're pretty spectacular to have. And Mandy has something special here.
I have one right there. This is to certify that the accompanying flag was flown over the United States Capitol on November 25th, 1993, Thanksgiving Day, at the request of an honorable Robert K. Dornan. And this was after Chuck got wounded in Somalia. His member of Congress sent him this flag, and we have it framed with its certificate because they have boxes that you can get.
That is spectacular.
And then to the right, Dave, of me right now, this is to certify that the accompanying flag was flown over the United States Capitol July 4th in celebration of our freedoms and in thanks for your role in protecting them at the request of Mitch McConnell. So that one's mine. That's Chuck's.
So that's kind of special that you got a July 4th one.
Yes.
And a Thanksgiving one. I don't think
exactly
everybody can do that. But you can get one that has flown over the Capitol.
Exactly. And it's a very cool thing. And here's the thing, you guys. It is someone's job, and I'm not even exaggerating, to stand at the top of the Capitol building and run these flags up and down the flagpole. Because they will run, I don't even know how many in a day, but they will run a bunch of flags up the flagpole. That flag could have been over the United States Capitol for a total of 90 seconds, for all I know, but it flew over the Capitol.
It doesn't
My
matter.
Favorite is we have five flags like this that are in boxes and everything. My favorite was sent to us when we were doing our charity for Cigars for Soldiers. We had a charity in Florida where we sent cigars and luxury items to people serving in combat zones. And we got one from a fighter squadron, and they had flown this flag off the back of their plane on a bombing run. I just thought, that's cool. I mean, it was just, that's the one that I'm actually like, okay, that flag saw some stuff, okay? That flag is important, so.
You know, Mandy, I wonder if it still exists, and if it does, it's got to be one of the most valuable flags in the world. And that would be the one that ran over Iwo Jima that was raised.
Oh, wow. I wonder. Somebody's got to have that somewhere. I would be surprised
if it wasn't
in, like, the Smithsonian or something.
Wouldn't
you think?
But what an incredible thing that is.
The flag should not be polarizing, and it makes me sad that for some people it is. It should be our rallying cry. It should be the thing around which we all... I mean, do you remember being a kid? Our school did this. Granted, I'm from Florida, so you can do this all winter long. Every morning, we went outside, the entire school, in a semicircle around the flagpole and did the Pledge of Allegiance, and we said a morning prayer because it was a Catholic school. But every morning, we sang, I think it was God Bless America, probably. We went out around the flagpole, the whole school, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance and sang.
I like that.
You know, it was awesome. Absolutely
That's
awesome.
Special.
Oh, my God.
We never went outside, but we did it every morning in the classroom. Yeah. It was just part of your day.
Somebody just hit us on the text line.
I think it still is, I hope.
Yeah. 3679 said, I want the January 6th flag. Somebody's got it. Someone's got them. Okay, let me tell you what else is on the blog. Thirsty Thursday got eaten by a doubleheader yesterday. So the wine yogi, Crystal Alfonso, is coming in today. This is one of the reasons why I decided to do the show today instead of just taking a vacation day. Is Crystal has found a huge selection of veteran-owned wineries, veteran-owned moonshine companies. And though this isn't about veterans, as I just said, this is about the people who never made it out of uniform, it's still nice to support veteran-owned businesses on this weekend. And so she's coming in to bring in all of these different wines and some moonshine. Dave, how do you feel about moonshine? You ever had moonshine?
I've never had it.
Oof.
But... From looking, you know, watching movies where people took moonshine, it looks like it's pretty good stuff.
Well, I forgot to mention that Dragon is in today for Couve. So we've got Dragon. Dragon, have you ever had moonshine?
I've never had moonshine. I'm not a big alcohol guy. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. I was like, how am I the only one that has had this experience?
Plus, they had that show
was
scary.
Well, and that's the moonshine that I had. I had moonshine made
still
in the woods. No, it's horrible. It's like drinking fire. Crystal swears that these are not like drinking fire. These are very refined moonshines. And I'm thinking, what makes it a moonshine if it didn't come out of somebody's, you know, bathtub still? What makes
it? There was a movie called Thunder Road back in the day.
Oh, yeah. That was a great
Mitchell
movie.
That shows, you know, they got these souped up cars because the cops are always after them for their moonshine. And they had these really powerful automobiles. But it was about moonshine and how they got away with it.
And people still make shine today, but not enough to actually create a situation where we need guys to go in and bust up stills. But I've had it several times made from some guy in the woods.
Does
it
always taste the same?
It doesn't have flavor. That's the thing.
Oh.
Moonshine from a still just tastes like fire. That's the only... Like, if you could take fire and liquefy it, that's what moonshine tastes like, because it doesn't have a flavor. It just burns all the way down.
Sounds delicious.
And what's the effect if you keep drinking it?
You'll get wasted. It's like 50% alcohol, if not higher. I mean, it's just, ugh. And it'll put her. We used to make hunch punch with it. See, you guys are non-drinkers, so you don't understand the joy of hunch punch. Hunch punch is you take a bunch of fruit, all kinds of different fruit, and you soak the fruit in the moonshine for like 2 days, right? Then you just take a garbage can, like a giant, you know, plastic garbage can or whatever, and you just start pouring in like fruit juice and Sprite and all of this other stuff, and then you drink it and you eat the fruit for the pop at the end. This is what passed for entertainment in rural Florida when I was
younger. Is that how we get you to eat fruit?
I never ate the fruit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, Dragon. Good shot. Good shot. You took a swing.
Because I know you don't like fruit, so I figured this may be a good way to introduce you to...
No.
Okay.
Because it doesn't change anything about the way the fruit feels in my mouth, which is really where the offense happens. It's the way it feels in my mouth. I can't do that. And moonshine just makes it feel bad, like fire.
So has anyone ever... I mean, the whole idea of moonshine is it's illegal, right?
Well, it's liquor. I mean, that's why people drink it to get drunk. That's why they make
but
moonshine.
I mean... Do any of these people with stills actually manufacture it for consumer?
We're having some today.
Buy it in the store.
Yeah, we're having some today. We're having some moonshine.
You're gonna have moonshine?
Yes, Crystal's bringing moonshine. She's bringing. I don't know if she's bringing all of them. She said she's bringing a apple pie moonshine, a peach cobbler moonshine, and she tried a strawberry lemonade moonshine, but I don't know if she's bringing that one. And she said they're not like fire. She's had them the way I have, too. And she said these are not the same. So these are commercially produced.
Too bad. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah. No.
You drinking real moonshine on the air.
I got to tell you, I hearken back to the days when I was trying to be sophisticated at an event with my then boss. And I ordered myself a martini because it sounded sophisticated. I'm like 22, 23 years old. I didn't realize that a martini is just like straight liquor. And I still to this day remember the self-control that it required to not like gag and throw up at the table as I took the first sip and I finished it. I was like, oh no, there's no way. I did this to myself and I'm going to let them think that I am the picture of sophistication and I'm going to suffer through this entire martini. And I did. I made it through and they're like, would you like another? I'm like, no, I'm good. Thanks. I'll just have a water. Thanks so much. One for me. One's my limit. I'm responsible. So I'm good at faking it if I have to. Like that. We'll see. Chuck Clark is in for Susan Witkin. Chuck, good to hear from you. What do you got for me today? Back to the blog in just a moment because we've got some good stuff on there. But it is Memorial Day weekend, and I'm thrilled to have David Roberts with Fort Logan National Cemetery joining the show to talk about Memorial Day, what's happening at Fort Logan, and what you might want to know. He's the acting director of the Fort Logan National Complex. David, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show today, Mandy. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Fort Logan.
Well, let's talk about Fort Logan and how Fort Logan National Cemetery is attached to that. It's all just part of the big, the same shebang here. How is that connected?
Well, there are 155 national cemeteries spread throughout the country and a few U.S. territories. Within that, Fort Logan is actually a complex, and we're pretty unique in that we're the largest geographical coverage area in the country. So Fort Logan here in Denver, that's our main hub. But we also oversee operations at Yellowstone National Cemetery.
Oh, wow.
That's up outside of Billings, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And as an extension of that, we oversee a post cemetery in Missoula, Montana. And we also recently acquired Fort Douglas, which is an Army post cemetery in Salt Lake City, Utah. Cheyenne National Cemetery in Wyoming opened in October of this last year. And finally, we're going to be opening the National Cemetery in Cedar City, Utah, in the next few years. So we are spread pretty widely throughout the Front Range and Rocky Mountain region.
So let me ask you, what makes it a national cemetery? Is it reserved only for members of the military? What is a national cemetery when we talk about in those terms?
Well, a national cemetery is operated at the federal level, and it is established in order to provide the burial benefits that veterans earn through their service to the armed forces. But, you know, there are other special outlier eligibility criteria that pertain to, you know, Women's Army Corps, Army Nurse Corps, and several others. But most easily digested eligibility requirements are someone that retired from the armed forces or served continuously in active duty for 24 months if the service was after September of 1980, received a discharge of other than dishonorable, a reserve or guard member that completed an activation for purposes other than training. And of course, by extension from Lincoln's proclamation, that extends to spouses that were married to a veteran at the time of passing. And then there are several eligibility criteria for minor children and adult dependent children. So, you know, there's a lot of eligibility criteria. They can be difficult to understand. So I would always recommend that if someone has any questions about their own eligibility, they should reach out to a nearby national cemetery across the country, and they will be happy to help. Or you can always submit a pre-eligibility determination request to our national scheduling office in St. Louis, Missouri.
I put a link to the website for the VA that covers the national cemetery, specifically Fort Logan, on my blog. And there's a ton of great information with links on all of that contact information that you just referenced. If people want more information, if they can be buried at Fort Logan. This is going to sound like a weird question, but how much space does Fort Logan have left? Because there are some national cemeteries that are kind of full up.
Yeah, you know, that was a kind of emerging concern several years back. But our agency did a good job of forecasting the expiration of our availability, and they acquired additional land from the state of Colorado, and we're beginning to develop roughly 50 acres on the side of our property, and we'll be providing burial options for another 30 years minimum.
Oh, wow. So that's good. So if veterans want to be buried in Fort Logan, there is going to be space for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. We're here to serve their needs for longer than I will work here.
How many people have already been put to rest at Fort Logan?
Well, we currently occupy roughly 105,000 grave sites.
Wow.
But within those grave sites, there are over 145,000 people buried here.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
It is. We're a big operation.
That's got to be. How are you in the grand scheme of the size of national cemeteries? Do you know where you fall?
As far as acreage, I'm not entirely sure, but we are typically around the seventh busiest national cemetery in the country.
Oh, wow. Well, we do have a ton of veterans in our area. So, yeah, it would make sense that they would want to be here. So you talked about how many national cemeteries there were in the U.S. And how hard was it for families and the VA to not be able to honor the vets on Memorial Day last year? Let's start with that, because COVID shut everything down, including the annual flagging and the ceremonies that go on. That must have been a tough nut to swallow.
Well, it certainly was in the context of not being able to observe it in the traditional way here. I certainly wouldn't go so far as to say we weren't able to honor them at all. We honor them through our efforts every single day at this property, providing the perpetual care of their gravesites. Now, it was difficult to not have the large ceremony that we traditionally host. And that's something that we look forward to. In a lot of ways, Memorial Day is kind of viewed by us as a culmination of our daily efforts leading up to that. It's our best opportunity to interact with our visitors and get to know people that routinely visit our site. So we certainly appreciate that chance to not have that last year, and regrettably not have it again this year. It is unfortunate. We all share in that disappointment. The wonderful element is that this year the gravesite flag placement did return. So there are volunteers coming out on Sunday, and they will be placing a gravesite on all 105,000 gravesites. So we're very excited to have that return.
I was telling my producer Dave earlier, I lived in Louisville, Kentucky for several years, where Cave Hill Cemetery is. And we participated in the flagging of the veterans' graves there. And when you stand back and you look at row after row after row of white headstone with a flag in front of it, it is such a powerful reminder of what those people that are in that cemetery provided for us. I mean, it's a visual way to sort of recognize the sacrifice of so many people who have come before us. And I strongly recommend that even if you can't volunteer to go out and help flag, take a drive through the cemetery and take a moment to recognize the power of that. The visual is just, it's stunning. I don't mean to, it sounds weird to say, wow, that really makes the cemetery look beautiful, but it does.
Oh, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Dave has a question for you.
Yeah, it's not a question as much as an observation as to what Mandy was just talking about. Many of us haven't been to a lot of military cemeteries, but we've all at one time or another seen the photos and the videos at Normandy. And that is exactly what you're talking about, Mandy, when you see mm-hmm. those rows and that tremendous number. And it hits you how much sacrifice has been made in this current country to make it what it is today and continue to make it what it is.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, isn't that why it's so important? I mean, if you don't take the time to properly acknowledge and appreciate the sacrifices of those before you, it becomes all too easy to take the freedoms that we continue to enjoy for granted. And Memorial Day is the perfect prompt to deliberately take that time to acknowledge that.
Well,
and that's why we hold it so dear.
I want to ask you, it's a great question, just came in on the text line. Someone asked, are there any etiquette or decorum rules one should follow when visiting the National Cemetery like Fort Logan?
Well, that is a fantastic question. I certainly appreciate it. So we do ask that people do not bring pets to the property, unless, of course, it's a service dog. Those are, of course, welcome. But we do, unfortunately, have a lot of dogs on the property. And as much as we all love our dogs, there are some realistic concerns with dogs on the property. And additionally, I would recommend that people avoid utilizing an adjacent headstone as a seat. If you intend on staying for an extended period of time and you think that you will need to take a seat, please bring a folding chair. It's someone else's beloved marker, and we don't want to impede upon the alignment of the headstones or the other family's appreciation for that permanent marker.
And until you see the headstones lined up so perfectly, you cannot appreciate what David is saying right now about not messing up the, you know, you don't want to cause something to lean. The perfection of the lining up of the gravestones is reminiscent of the precision of the military. And I happen to think that it's also a very powerful reminder. And when you see it, you just are kind of overcome with the precision that the military does everything with, including burying the dead. You know, it's pretty stunning. And I would strongly recommend people head out and don't make it it's not a picnic. Okay. You're not going to throw the Frisbee. You're not going to jog through the cemetery. You're going to pay your respects to the dead. And if you approach it from that perspective, I think that the decorum will probably take care of itself. Don't you think, David?
Absolutely. And I appreciate you expanding upon that. There are, unfortunately, we don't allow recreational activities. And you mentioned a picnic. Yes, we do ask that people refrain from coming out and having a party on the grounds.
Yeah.
We do our best to maintain the respect and dignity for every single gravesite here. And by extension, we're taking care of the family that comes to visit and remember their loved one.
We were going to talk about this a little bit later, but it's a great question and kind of goes to what we're talking about. Someone said, ask about the significance of placing coins or stones on grave markers. Do you want to cover that?
Well, it's actually something that we try to discourage. I know that a lot of veterans, they have meaning associated with the coins that they place on the headstones. But again, it goes back to the logistical approach, and things that are placed on the headstones, such as rocks, coins, those can become projectiles when the mowers are maintaining the grounds. So we actually do discourage that as well.
And you guys sweep the cemetery, and I don't mean with a broom, but you sweep the cemetery on a regular basis to kind of take the things that don't meet the standards of the cemetery. So if somebody goes and leaves something, you know, like a yard spinner or something, and then comes back in a couple of weeks, don't be surprised when it's gone, we should say.
Yeah, we do try to standardize our approach. And in fact, at Fort Logan, it's the second Thursday of every month. We do go through and do a clean sweep on the property. It is precisely for that reason. I mean, flowers wilt and fade and become unsightly. Or in the event that a windstorm comes through, dislodges flowers, if we can't tell which grave site they were actually placed on, we really don't have much choice but to dispose of it in order to maintain the uniformity and appearance that you have referenced.
Well, Dave has one more question for you, David.
Yeah, okay. The spirit and the feeling you get going to one of these sites, I think was probably best expressed in the movie Saving Private Ryan in the beginning and end scenes when the guy goes to pay respect to the guy that saved his life. I mean, that is so moving. And I think if you see that, you get an idea of what this is all about.
I agree 100%.
David, is there any way that people, do you guys have a foundation to support the cemetery, or is it federally funded?
It is federally funded. So
that's good.
You know, a way that I think people can connect to this cemetery or specific individuals is kind of an exciting advancement recently with what's called the Veterans Legacy Memorial. Mm-hmm. And it is a website that can be accessed at www.va.gov/remember. And this site contains a specific page for every veteran interred in all national cemeteries. And each page contains basic information about the individual in each gravesite, but it provides the ability for families to leave a tribute or submit photos, biographical summaries, or newspaper clippings. And that's a good way for people to connect and continue to feel close to the sacrifice that their loved one or a family friend may have made. So I would recommend that people check that out.
And not only Fort Logan National Cemetery, don't forget Pikes Peak National Cemetery as well. If you want to take some time, and especially, you know, if you have kids that are maybe 10, 11, that's the perfect age to kind of introduce them to the concept of what Memorial Day is all about. And a great way to do that is a slow roll through a national cemetery while you talk about the visual that you're looking at, and reminding kids that it's not just about the barbecues. It's not just about hanging out with your friends, going to the lake, whatever it is you normally do. There's a reason behind that is significant and incredibly important. David Roberts, thank you so much for your time today. And I hope you guys have a beautiful day at the cemetery when the graves are getting flagged. And I'd love it if you would email me a photo of that when it's all done. That would be fantastic.
Absolutely.
And I could share it next week to let people know what they can expect next year.
Absolutely. I will.
All right. That's Dave Roberts with Fort Logan National Cemetery. Thanks for you. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it very, very much. I might do that. Maybe we'll ride up to the, because now that we're here, you know, when you think you have plans and then the plans get canceled and you're like, well, I don't know what to do with myself.
I would like to do that myself.
Yeah.
That's what you should be doing.
Exactly. Grant has a podcast out this week with our man, Rob, from Of the Day. Well, you may or may not know, depending on when you listen and how much you listen. Rob is a veteran who's very, very active in veterans' causes. And this episode is about Rob and his service. So if you want to kind of get in the mood a little bit, I'll send that out on Facebook and Twitter to remind you. What was that? Oh, we got Kathy Walker now ready to do some news. Kathy, what do you have for me? Oh, wait, is she ready? I might have gone to her too soon. Oh, hi, Kathy. Hello. Yes. Oh. Snacks. Snacks. The world is here.
Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Oh, sorry.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Sorry about that, Dragon. Those auto start things are real you-know-what. You know what I mean? My bad on that one.
It's only live radio.
We have a situation in my house right now, and the wine yogi's already in it, and she's already laid out like 30 wines, and there's... Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bottles of moonshine and 3 bottles of liquor. Thank God it's Friday, Dave. And I
really
don't have to go anywhere for the rest of the day. I'm having my own little happy hour in the 2 o'clock hour. It's going to be fantastic.
Looks like it.
We're so close to being able to bring this back in the studio, by the way. We're like so close. I heart so close to letting us have guests in the studio again, so... We may have to come in for Thirsty Thursday. Now that you're trying to expand your wine palate, Dave, you know, Dave's trying to expand his wine palate.
I would like to have tried some of the moonshine. That's something I haven't experienced.
I will bring some of, I'll pick out the best one and then I'll bring you some of that. Crystal, let me have some of that. Let's see here. Oh, back to the blog, because we haven't even made it all the way through the blog yet. And I have another interview coming up at 1:35 with Jack Tomczak. So I want to get some stuff in here. We need, if you are the prayerful type, my friend and yours, Stephen Tubbs, former colleague, is in the hospital with COVID. And Westward did a story on this, and Peter Boyles announced on his show that Stephen had not been vaccinated. And if you look at Westward's Facebook page where they published the story, let's just say there's not a lot of sympathy right now. And I think that's terrible, because even the people that I don't care for and that I disagree with, I don't want them to have a serious case of COVID and end up in the hospital. That's just not nice. It's just not nice. And I know that Stephen would feel it if you were the sort to lift him up in prayer and help him heal and get back to life in a speedy fashion. Please do so. Peter did announce that he was not vaccinated, and there's that. And I said, was it yesterday on the show, Dave, that I said, I think there's going to be an outbreak in the fall of COVID, and we're going to have a lot of people who are not vaccinated in the hospital.
Yep, that's true.
And I think that's going to be really sad. So I, you know, do what you will, but I do think that people who have not been vaccinated are still going to have serious cases of COVID. And Stephen is in great health. We're not talking about somebody with a bunch of underlying conditions. He's not overweight. He's in great health otherwise. He's maybe a little bit older than me. Maybe. I think he's got to be, what, in his early 50s tops. He's, you know. And so this is not someone with a bunch of underlying conditions, and he is in the hospital right now. So please, like I said, if you are the prayerful type, if you are one of those energy sorts, send him healing energy, send whatever positive vibes you engage in. And hopefully we can help him through that positive energy and prayers recover quickly and get back to his life. Also, this is really interesting, Dave. In the magazine Nature, there was a study published about a study done in, I think it was done in Australia at the University of Melbourne. The study provides evidence that immunity triggered by SARS-CoV-2 infection will be extraordinarily long-lasting. Not just long-lasting, extraordinarily long-lasting. It works like this. Antibodies, proteins that can recognize and help to inactivate viral particles, are a key immune defense. After a new infection, short-lived cells called plasmablasts are an early source of antibodies. But those cells recede soon after the virus is cleared from the body. And other long-lasting cells make antibodies. Memory B cells patrol the blood for reinfection, while bone marrow plasma cells hide away in bones, trickling out antibodies for decades. According to one of the study's leading immunologist who worked on this, he is from Washington University. He said a plasma cell is our life history in terms of the pathogens we've been exposed to. Researchers presumed that SARS-CoV infection would trigger development of BMPCs. Those are those bone marrow plasma cells. But there have been signs that severe COVID-19 might actually disrupt the cell's formation. But most people recover fully from COVID, and they have these T cells or these memory cells that will provide them antibody immunity for a very long time. And by the way, the same is true of the vaccine, they think. Obviously, you can't predict the future, right? We cannot say with certainty that either having a COVID-19 infection or getting a vaccine is going to give you lifetime protection against COVID-19. We don't know this. And I should say a serious case of COVID-19. Because breakthrough infections are a thing. I now have two personal friends that have had breakthrough infections after they got the COVID vaccine. Two. And I think that's pretty significant. One, totally mild case, couple days, she was fine. The other one ended up with a pulmonary embolism after he recovered from COVID. He got COVID, that was fine, no problems there. But 2 weeks after he got COVID, he had a pulmonary embolism and had to go to the hospital. So, you know, everything you can do to avoid getting a serious case of COVID is a good idea. And this is really, really positive for the efficacy of the vaccine long term. So just a couple stories to keep in mind as you move and go about your lives again. Thank you to all of you who called and wrote emails to all of the members of the Colorado legislature. The charter bill attack bill, as I'm calling it, the charter schools attack bill, that was going to make it really easy for charter schools to not get a charter or be shut down by an anti-charter school board, has been killed in the Education Committee, and it was killed by three Republicans and two Democrats. And I am eternally grateful. Just grateful. This is an issue that should bring everyone together, because it's about parents making decisions for their kids that are right for their child. Whether it's to choose a traditional public school, a neighborhood school, or to choose a charter school that better serves the needs of your child. That's what charter schools and parental choice is all about. And this should be a non-political issue. There should be no political lines in the sand over this. And thankfully, the chair of the Education Committee had experienced a situation where one of her children did really well in a traditional school and her other child did terribly in a traditional public school, and she chose a charter. So she made it clear that parental choice is extremely important, and to deal with the issues that the author of this bill said she was dealing with, there are other ways to do it that would not be as disruptive and potentially harmful to charter schools. So yay, yay, yay to all of you. That bill is dead for this year. Dave, oh, dang it. I didn't get the link to that story. I have to go back and insert it. Were you shocked to know that 1.1 billion people smoke? I was shocked.
Yes, I was, because over the last several years, even decades, we've seen in this country a decrease, but that doesn't mean the rest of the world was on board with that.
No, it doesn't. And the reality is that developing nations tend to have very high levels of smoking, and China is a perfect example of that. Almost a third of that 1.1 billion people are Chinese people who smoke. And in the United States, the last time I looked it up, 17% of the population smoked in the United States of America. And now I think that smokers can fall into different categories. Like, you go, okay, are you an everyday smoker? Are you a smoker who smokes every day? Or are you a smoker that just has a few cigarettes when you go out with your friends? You know, I'm just a social smoker. I cannot imagine. I can't even tell you how many social smokers have turned into long-term smokers. You know, yeah,
I think almost all of them.
That's a gateway. You know what, Dave? I have friends. I'm 51 years old. I have friends that I've known since I was 21. And when we were in our 20s, we would go out and we would be out all night. And over the course of a night, they would bum one or two cigarettes, right? Just a couple. And then they wouldn't smoke for a really long time, maybe a month, maybe 2 months. And then we'd be out again and they'd bum one or two. And they never picked up the habit on a regular basis. I would kill to be one of those people. I would kill to have the ability to turn it on and off, but I can't. I am smoking no cigarettes, or I am smoking a pack a day. That's the Mandy dichotomy of smoking. It took me a long time to realize that I can never be a casual smoker. I can't. And I smoked off and on for 15 years. I would quit smoking for years at a time. And then I go, you know what? We're out. I'll just have one. No, the next day I'm buying a pack and that's it.
You know, China, it's interesting because they have all that pollution. People wear masks in the streets sometimes when it's very bad. The big smoking numbers cannot help that.
No, China has a significant pollution problem because they've been aggressively adopting all industry, all power production, all of everything in order to grow the economy. And one of the most interesting things that I've ever learned about environmentalism and even pollution, even having clean air and clean water and these things that we take for granted in the United States, it is, you have to develop to a certain point as a nation before you have the luxury of caring about pollution. Because if you are trying to get people out of grinding poverty, living on 30 cents a day without electricity, without access to clean water, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, right? You've got to do things to build your industry that otherwise a more advanced nation would not have to do. For example, the mining of rare earth minerals in China is incredibly environmentally destructive. We would never in the United States of America be able to mine for rare earth metals the way they do in China. And they've done it for years. I mean, years. They have just destroyed their environment mining for these things because they're so valuable. But now, China is more developed as an economy. They don't have as many people living in grinding poverty. They have a thriving middle class and a thriving upper middle class. And that's why they're saying, hey, wait a minute, this rare earth metals things, we're going to make it more environmentally safe. That is a luxury that you can have as a developing nation or as a developed nation. But when you're talking about India, when you're talking about, small nations that are just trying to get a footing, they're going to do whatever they can to lift their people out of poverty, and then they will deal with the after effects of industrialization. That's what's happened in every emerging economy around the world since the beginning of time. Maybe it wasn't coal-fired power plants, but you think about, remember, Dave, was that, what show were we, did we watch? It was about Churchill, and they had the fog that was actually smog and pollution.
Yes.
What show was that? What movie was that?
I don't recall.
That might have been The Crown. Was that the first season of The Crown?
I think it was the
first season of The Crown, yeah. Because what's his name? John Lithgow
early
was 50s, playing.
Like 1952, yeah. There was this, it was a perfect storm for air pollution.
Yeah.
And it took place in London, and it was terrible.
And it killed people. The smog was so toxic, it killed people. It was The Crown. Thank you, Dragon. And in the 1950s, you're coming out of World War II, heavy industrialization, trying to build the UK back. So pollution was not really thought of. But when that happened, it became a huge part of Winston Churchill's industrial platform is to how do we clean up the air in London specifically, because he watched people die because of that. So To know that people are still smoking in China and India, I get it. I understand it. What I don't understand is people still smoking in the United States and other developed nations where we know with absolute certainty that a decent percentage of people who smoke over their lifetimes are going to end up getting lung cancer, getting COPD, getting emphysema, having a stroke. We know this is not in question. This is not, climate science. We know the connection. So here we have a highly educated economy. We have a highly educated group of people, and yet people still choose to smoke. And don't think I'm casting aspersions on you if you smoke. As I said a couple of minutes ago, I smoked on and off for 15 years. So I know what it's like. I know what it's like to quit. I know all of that stuff. But at this stage in the game, do it for yourself if you don't do it for anything else. Yeah, Dragon.
I just have a quick question. I don't know if I'm going to derail this or not, but how many people start smoking as an adult after you know all of this stuff? Because I see people learning to smoke when they're kids and in their early teens and late teens, where you're stupid as a teenager. But as an adult in your 20s and 30s, people start smoking then. Why?
Well, here's what's funny is that in the article that I forgot to link that I will go back and link on the blog here in just a second, they specifically talk about the fact that, I mean, the numbers are overwhelmingly like 90% of people who start smoking before they turn 25. So all of the smoking cessation stuff, all of the anti-smoking, all of the don't start in the first place has to hit kids from like 10 to 25. That's when you have to have aggressive measures to prevent people from starting to smoke, because after 25, the chances of you picking up a cigarette are really small. And the only people I've ever known, I've only known two people that started smoking late in life, they married a smoker. And so one of my friends said, it's easier to smell like him than to smell him. And that's why she started smoking.
Wow.
And I honestly, I couldn't argue with that logic. Couldn't argue with it. She actually
seems to
quit.
Make sense.
Yeah, she quit maybe 5 years later. And after she quit, he quit. So it was like she kind of brought him along. She's like, okay, you're going to smoke? I'll smoke too. Oh, wait, I'm going to quit. You should probably quit too. And they don't smoke now, to my knowledge. But
so she, by taking up smoking, she got him to quit.
Eventually. Because she was like, this is expensive and I'm tired of smelling bad. Like that's, and then my other was a guy who started dating a smoker and then he started smoking as well. I don't know. I haven't talked to him in years. I have no idea if he's still smoking. Yeah, Dave.
You know, Mandy, yesterday we're talking about these ideas that we could really live to 150 years old if we look at what we're doing and change some things. Smoking is one of the biggies. No one's going to live to 150 as a smoker.
I will tell you, Dave, I think the bigger one is that people have to recognize that the food they put in their mouths is directly correlated to their health on every level. You cannot put garbage in, you cannot put garbage in your body and expect it to run like a Ferrari. You know, you really can't. I mean, a dragon, I feel like you've learned this in a big way over the last year.
I can totally attest to this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't fuel this with cookies anymore.
Well, but here, let me ask you a question, because if people don't know, Dragon has lost, like, I think 1 million pounds.
Only 155 last week.
Only.
Yes.
Only how much? 155?
155, yes.
Dude. Every time I see, you just gave me goosebumps.
That's my target weight.
I mean, that's
my target weight, 155.
That's amazing. But how do you feel versus when you eat healthy food? Because you post on your Instagram page, you show what you eat. When you eat food that you know is nourishing your body versus eating crap, can you tell a difference now?
I can feel it, because I've had birthdays and I've had cookies and cakes and things on occasion, not as much as I had before, but I can feel it almost instantly when I eat that junk food that is like, oh, wow, I just feel like sludge.
And I want to go home and take a nap.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't feel right. Like right now I'm digging into some lunch here and I'm getting that energy now to make it through the rest of the day rather than just lethargic and just crap.
Yeah. And I think that once you start making that connection to, wow, if I eat this, I'm going to feel horrible, it also gets a lot easier to not eat that thing.
Because it's not worth it anymore.
No, exactly. And this is the point that I am reminded of every time I go rogue and, like, you know, every time I eat really great, like, I love pizza with pepper. I like meat pizza. Okay. I want pepperoni, sausage, bacon, Canadian bacon if they have it, and any other kind of meat you can put on that pizza. That's what I want on my pizza. The last time I ordered that, I felt like I was a beached whale. I was just laying on the couch, and I didn't even eat that much of it. I was just like
one slice down,
shallow breathing, like what's happening? Yeah, and I just thought, why?
Especially if you've been eating healthy on a consistent basis,
definitely.
And then you go rogue. That's when you feel that big difference.
Were you ever a smoker, Dave? Did I ever ask you if you were a smoker? Did you ever smoke?
No, you never asked me, but I smoked one time. My old pal, Sheldon Rabinowitz, when we were kids.
He's such a troublemaker.
He was a smoker, and he offered me one, and I smoked it, and I thought it was terrible. It tasted horrible. And I never smoked again.
What's funny is everybody that's ever smoked that first cigarette and was like, God, this is terrible.
Let me
but
do it again.
Some of us are quitters like you are, Dave. Some of us were like, it's got to be better than I thought it was. I'll just keep doing it until it feels good. There you go. Dragon,
you
were you
succeeded.
Ever a smoker?
I've tried some, but it just doesn't stick for me.
God
it's like,
bless for you. That's God made you that way, and be grateful, because sometimes it's not so much. Okay, when we get back, we are going to talk to Jack Tomczak. How do you display a flag properly? How do you dispose of a flag properly? We're having a whole conversation about the United States flag coming up next. But first, Kathy Walker is going to tell us what's coming up in the news. Memorial Day, and I hope that you are a good American and plan on flying your flag on Monday. And if you don't have a flag, why not? First of all, second of all, maybe you don't know how to fly it. I can solve that problem with you. I've got Jack Tomczak from the Rocky Mountain Flag Company to talk about the flag, how to display it, and all that good stuff. Jack, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Mandy.
First of all, I got to tell you, in my house, we are big fans of the flag. We are your target customer, mister. We got a flag outside. We've got flags all inside our house. We love the flag here in my household. And I want to start out, how long have you been in the flag business at Rocky Mountain Flag Company?
Well, my father started in the flag business in 1986. And I took over in 1995. So I've been doing this about 26 years.
Does the demand for flags ebb and flow? Do you have a stronger demand at certain times or lesser demand at other times, or is it pretty consistent?
Yeah, absolutely. We see an increase in sales starting around March, right around springtime when we get the time change and spring comes around and we start looking forward to summer. So we start seeing demand towards, as we get closer to Memorial Day, Flag Day, 4th of July. So certainly the summer months, there's a greater increase in demand over the rest of the year. But
Right. Let's talk about the American flag for a moment, because there is a lot of, for people like my husband who served in the military, they are well-versed in how to properly display a flag, and he gets really frustrated when he sees a flag that either needs to be replaced or isn't being displayed properly. How do you guys tell people, here's how you properly display the flag at your home?
Well, for every person and type of display, it's going to be a little bit different. Most people are mounting the flag to the side of their house. Some people might put it flush up against a wall or something like that. That's kind of rare, but there's a little bit different case for most people. The flags are usually mounted on a 5 or 6 foot pole to the side of the house. Some people have in-ground flag poles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty easy. That's self-explanatory.
Well, I saw you guys are actually offering a Memorial Day special on flag poles. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we are. We've had a lot of people take advantage of that for commercial grade poles. So that's exciting. Our sales are up about 43% over the same period last year. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel like people are feeling a little patriotic, or maybe, you know, I think flying the flag for some people is, it might feel like we're getting back to normal. We're feeling in a celebratory mood, and now people want to celebrate, and we're ready to go outside and display our flags. When you, I have a question that just came in via the text line at 56690. I don't know if you're going to know the answer to this question. I hope I don't stump you, Jack.
I'll try.
When displaying the American flag on your vehicle, like if you have a window sticker or something like that, is it on the driver's side or the passenger side, or does it matter?
Well, if people are just going to display one sticker or a magnet or something, most people are probably going to put it maybe on the back window or the back bumper. Mm-hmm. But if we're putting it on the side of the vehicle, there's actually... we offer stickers that are what we call obverse and reverse. So you always, if the car is moving forward, you'll also see that indicated on patches on the U.S. service personnel. So if you've got a patch on the left or the right shoulder, they're going to always be facing as if you're moving into the wind.
Okay.
That makes sense. So we call
so you're going to have the patch of the stars on the forward part. So if it's on the left-hand side,
correct,
the patch of stars is going to be on the forward part. But if it's in the right-hand side, it's going to be on the forward part. So obviously those are reversed. But if you put them together, they would make a full flag.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So the same in your car really would be the way to do it.
Right.
How do you display the flag properly in terms of hanging it? Because there's a lot of controversy. Occasionally, depending on who's president, you'll see people hang the flag backwards as a sign of distress, which seems a little melodramatic to me, but whatever, you know.
Well, they're going to actually hang it upside down as a sign of distress.
Yeah. You got to choose your distress things there. So essentially, it comes with the... the grommet's already in it. You just hang it up as it comes, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, that's it. Some of the flags have actually a pole's hem or a pole sleeve, mm-hmm, versus the grommets. So there's a couple of different ways that we can sell the flag, and it can be displayed.
Do you have flags that are different kinds of American flags?
We have different materials, if that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, somebody specifically said blue line flags, good or bad?
Thin blue line flags are very popular.
Very popular.
The American flag in a subdued, like a black and white version, and then a blue stripe down the center. Not only do we have thin blue line flags, but thin red line, thin yellow line, thin green line. They're all support flags showing support for the police, first responders, military, hospital personnel, things like that.
Is it appropriate? I mean, is it appropriate to take the flag? And I guess this is an opinion question from a guy who has these and sells them, so I think I know the answer from your perspective. but is it appropriate to sort of personalize the American flag and make it your own, or make it so it celebrates one aspect of American culture?
Well, the U.S. flag code speaks to this, and it says you're not to alter or deface the American flag in any way. There were certain people in the past where they've had the American flag, the red and white stripes, and in the blue field instead of the stars, there was President Obama's face on there. Mm-hmm. That's something that most people would have a problem with and would say, you're desecrating the American flag. It's a thin line. It's a gray area, in my opinion. Changing the flag to a black and white flag and putting a thin blue line, I don't think you're desecrating the flag in that case and personalizing it. But anybody that writes on it or defaces it in any other way would not be appropriate.
Okay. Actually, I got clarification on my car question. He said, no, the ones on plastic poles you put on the edge of the window. So the ones that actually go in the window and flap in the breeze is what this texter was talking about. Driver side or passenger side, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. It's you pick them. Dave, my producer, has a question for you, Jack.
Yeah. How do you know when it's time to change the flag? I mean, all flags get old, but at what point is it time to change it?
Yeah, we deal with a lot of commercial applications. And so what we look at is the overall condition of the flag. Obviously, we deal with a lot of high winds here. So when the flag gets tattered, that's very obvious. We also live at an altitude where the sun is going to beat down on the flag and fade any material. So it's going to fade. It's going to, in high traffic areas along I-25 or Commerce City and things like that, I-70, they're going to absorb a lot of pollution as well. So we're going to look at how tattered it is, how faded, and how dirty. Also, the customer, you know, their pocketbook is going to dictate when they can change
right.
it. But certainly, if it's in any disrepair whatsoever, it should be cleaned and repaired, if at all possible. If they want to reuse it, or it should be retired properly and replaced with a new one.
Jeff, I wonder when you're driving down the road and you see what looks like a tattered flag, do you stop and go in there and say, hey, you really, guys, you need to change it?
Absolutely. Yeah,
see, my husband does too, Jack. And if you send me some of your cards, he will hand them your card and say, here's where you can get a replacement very easily, because he does it all the time. I mean, he cannot tolerate a tattered flag. Let me ask you this. What fabrics do you feel like have the greatest level of durability? Because to your point, we have some of the nylon flags and we have a box of backup flags. That's how we roll. And we have the nylon ones and they last pretty well. I mean, they do pretty well. But are the heavy cloth flags that are quite expensive, are they worth the investment, or is it just better to just kind of, look, we live in a tough climate, replace it as often as possible?
Well, I would say for the residential user, in most cases, the nylon flags are fine. The U.S. government did a study and found that the average life of a nylon flag flown sunrise to sunset, but not during periods of inclement weather like high winds or hail or something, the average life expectancy was about 90 days. I find that to be a bit too conservative. Most of our residential customers are going to get anywhere from 6 months to a year out of an average flag. People that have taller flagpoles or in high wind areas, maybe like Boulder to Lyons off Highway 93, any high wind areas, that's going to really affect the life expectancy of a flag. But we do have a two-ply heavy-duty polyester material, which is specifically designed for high wind areas. It is a more expensive flag, and it's more durable, so you're going to get more life out of that, but it is a heavier flag.
What it drives me crazy, and it's not happening so much, but when we were actively at war and people were feeling their patriotism, the guys in trucks that would put the flag up on the roll bar or whatever, and then just leave it. So by the time, 4 or 5 months goes by of them driving around with this thing, it's just shredded. And I just get really frustrated with that. How do you recommend people dispose of their flags?
Well, you can always take a flag to any American Legion, VFW post. any fraternal organization, sometimes the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Daughters of the American Revolution. Some retail stores like True Value Ace Hardware have a drop box, and you can always come here and retire it. But the proper method for retiring a flag that's no longer serviceable is by burning, obviously in a dignified manner, not, you know, undignified. And we get those flags all the time, and we do a proper retirement ceremony for them.
So they can bring it back to you?
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. Jeff, first of all, I apologize for calling you Jack like 19 times. I just realized after someone texts me, his name's Jeff. Yes, it is. Thank you, Jeff, for not correcting me, letting me correct myself. One last question. If you are displaying the flag outside and it is not lit, or what are the rules for, does a flag need to be lit? If it's in the rain, can it stay outside? If it's lit, what are those rules very quickly?
Well, American flags, when displayed after darkness, should be illuminated. If not, you should bring them in. That's in the U.S. flag code as well. So we offer solar lights and a lot of inexpensive. But, all-weather flags today, we've gotten away from cotton flags, which are not all-weather. Nylon and polyester flags are all-weather. U.S. flag code, again, speaks to that and says you should bring it in when it's raining or snowing. But not everybody does. And so,
can you wash a flag?
You can wash a flag, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So if it gets a little dingy or gets you know, dirt and stuff on it, you could bring it in and fly it. I'm going to ask this question for Tony because we're almost out of time. Is it okay to fly a flag with 48 stars? And I'm assuming it's an older version of the flag.
Absolutely. Any version of the American flag, along like 30, Colorado became the 38th state. And so we offer an American flag with 38 stars, and it's perfectly fine to fly a current or any previous American flag.
Good to know. Good to know. Hey, Jeff Tomczak, I appreciate your time today. Rocky Mountain Flag Company, if you are not currently a flag owner, if you want a flagpole in your yard, they can help you out with it. And by the way, I perused your website today. You have some really funny political flags on your website, but oddly, I don't see a lot of Biden flags on your website. Is that because Biden fans don't fly a flag, or you tend to do better with people from other political parties?
Yes, that's correct. In all the years I've been doing this and leading up to the last election, I never once had a request for a Biden flag. It's always been a Trump flag. We do have two profanity-laced Biden flags for sale, but they're very funny.
They're very inappropriate, yeah. And the people that would fly them, they got to be ready. They got to be ready for the blowback, but they are very entertaining. But you also have tons of flags that are just like organizations and cool stuff to decorate your home. It's not just about the American flag at Rocky Mountain Flag Company. I want to make sure people know if you want a flag for pretty much anything, I think Jeff can help you with it. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. We
Except
have
the Biden flags.
National, military, historical, seasonal and decorative flags, kites, garden decor. We've got a lot.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, man, I appreciate your time today. And I love helping people learn about how to take care of a flag, because in all honesty, until I married my veteran husband, I didn't know any of this. I mean, I knew the basics, right? But he has really educated me about flag etiquette and how important it is, because the flag for someone in the military is the thing that guides them, that motivates them, the symbol, I should say, that guides them and motivates them. And it's such an important part that I wish there was more of that in the civilian population, the kind of passion for the flag that they have in the military. But you know what? You learn when you can learn, right, Jeff?
Right.
All right, Jeff Tomczak with the Rocky Mountain Flag Company.
Have a great
I put
day,
a link
Mandy.
To their website on our blog so you could find it really easily. Jeff, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, that's Jeff Tomczak. We're going to check in from Kathy Walker. And when we get back, we have the Wine Yogi coming up. She has already, first of all, I've already started drinking, because she was like, we have so much to taste. You can't do it all in 1 hour. So by the end of this hour, because we have incredible veteran-owned wine, liquor, and moonshine, which I feel like moonshine is liquor, but it needs its own category.
You got a table behind you. It looks like you're ready to eat a 15-course meal.
I did not eat breakfast today. So this is my meal.
There's a lot of stuff on that table.
Well, I'm going to, on this break, if you follow me on Facebook, just zip on over to my Facebook page on this break and look, I'm going to Facebook Live so you guys can see the spread that we have because Crystal just made me eat pickles that blew my face off. I'm like, I have an active saliva thing happening right now because of the pickles she just made me eat and they were delicious.
And tell the audience what else they'll be able to see on Facebook.
Moonshine. What else? Oh, Dave's hair. Yes. I just posted a picture of Dave's hair on my Facebook page as well. Now, it's a screen grab of our Zoom meeting, so you can't, you know, but you can see it. His locks, his mane.
It's a mane.
His mane of hair.
Glorious.
He has to constantly flip it out of his eyes, you know, just all the time. Kathy Walker's in the newsroom. What's coming up on your news, Kathy?
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the third hour of the show, and I am pleased as punch to have Thirsty Thursday slightly rebranded as Frosty Friday because we got, well, we got eaten up by a doubleheader yesterday. The Wine Yogi is in the house. I have already started drinking because she made me. I just want people to know that. It was not my choice. And not my choice.
I think yeah. you're bigger than she is. Come
exactly.
on.
Thank
I totally
you, Dave.
Believe it.
Thank you.
It would be rude. Thank you. It would be rude, Dave. She is a guest. Okay?
Just
it would
say
be,
you're a lush and leave it at that.
It would be rude for me to turn such a thing down.
Dave, that's my job. That's yeah. my role. I'm yeah, a professional
okay.
here.
Okay, so every month you come in, we talk about various wines for various things. You always pick a theme. The theme this month is?
Memorial Day weekend.
Yay.
Yay. So I chose things that were either associated, on my blog, I actually talked about some things, why Memorial Day weekend is really important to me. I did talk about the coins, too.
Yes, we're going to talk about all that stuff.
But I also wanted to kind of focus on veteran-owned businesses, not only because a lot of times these businesses are doing good for veterans or for veteran support groups and also Gold Star family groups. If you're not familiar with the Gold Star family is if someone has died, whether it's a husband, a son, brother, all of, you know, whatever it feels, a wife, then you, if you've ever seen like the blue stars in the mm-hmm. windows of homes, especially like right after 9/11, that's to indicate you have someone in service in the family. Maybe they're deployed. If you see the gold star, it means that that person that was in the service has passed. And so one of my very closest best friends is a Gold Star mom. And so I wanted to pick.
And for those who don't know, Crystal is an Air Force veteran as well. So this is not just lip service. This is her life. This is how she walks the walk and talks the talk because this is something that's very important to her, as it's important to all of us. But I also wanted to mention, I know it's not, you're here, so we're not honoring you
exactly.
on Memorial Day, but I want to let people know that, you know, sometimes people say nice things, but they're not as invested. You're very invested in this for good reason. We'll get into that in a second.
But the theme is kind of focusing in on military, whether it's veterans who've served and have now shifted to their second part of their life in either the wine industry or in the distilling industry. But most of the time, these organizations, typically, if they're veteran-owned, also do a lot to give back to mm-hmm. that community, whether it is supporting, one of our distillers supports female vets specifically mm-hmm. and offers support groups. Because all of us that have served, especially after 9/11, it isn't necessarily a clear and cut, you know, easy transition as you move off into what, when I grow up, I want to be a sommelier.
Exactly.
You often still have issues with transition, particularly those folks who saw combat. It is challenging. And so I love supporting not only small local business, but I really enjoy supporting veteran owned businesses. And that's every time there's any kind of push for small business support, I usually want to seek out first and foremost veteran. I also like to support female owned. If you haven't figured it out, I'm also female. So
wow, I had no idea.
It's a shocking surprise.
Yeah. So talk about Dane. He's the one you were talking about who your best friend, he was your best friend's son.
So when I was at the Air Force Academy, I became very close with another female officer, and she was my go-to when I was going through my own infertility issues that I suffered when I met with Grant and on his podcast. We talked.
She has an episode. The Wine Yogi is on an episode of Grant's podcast, Taking It for Granted. So if you want the full backstory, you can go back and listen to the podcast.
So one day, it was right after Christmas. The department's empty. All the cadets are at home, but I'm at work. And I just found out that someone very close to me, we weren't even trying.
Yeah.
At this point, I've been trying for 3 years, and it just does ugly things to you. And I was very upset, and I kind of lost it. And I also, being on active duty, that's something that women don't like to do, is start bawling your eyes out in public. But Carla she came into my office. Her son, who was there, he was a teenager and in high school at the time, saw me visibly upset. He knew who I was. And when she came back in and was talking to him, he asked specifically about me. And her son's name was Dane. And he said just the sweetest thing, just completely out of the blue, which, if you have teenage boys, and I'm going through my own teenage boy issue right now, I would hope my son would say the same thing. I'm going to pray for her.
Aww.
Because she is clearly just suffering, and I just feel so bad. And I'm going to pray for her. And of course, that was a proud moment for Carla.
Yeah.
You know, and she told me later on when we did get pregnant, and then she got pregnant a month after I did. So we would periodically walk up to each other and we'd bump our pregnant bellies in the department there. And we both had difficult deliveries of our sons. But she's my sister from a different mister. I absolutely adore her. And in fact, a few years later, flash forward, I'm now stationed in Alabama. She and I were talking on the phone, and she told me she was getting ready to deploy to Iraq because her son Dane had enlisted in the Army when he graduated from high school, and he was in Iraq. And I'm not even kidding. Probably she was notified within 12 hours of that phone call, because I said, I'm going to pray for Dane. And she was notified he'd been killed by an IED in Iraq, an improvised explosive device. And I dropped everything. I was in the middle of a pretty intense school, and I got permission to leave so that I could attend his funeral and be there for my friend. And she now has, she set up a nonprofit. If you search for Dane Balcon, BALCON.org, she, in his memory and to kind of keep his spirit alive, has set up, he was really into JROTC mm-hmm. when he was in high school. So she has set up these scholarship funds and grants for kids there, especially in San Antonio, where he grew up most of his life mm-hmm. and where she now currently lives, to continue to keep his spirit and his desire to serve and give back to this country alive by enabling other kids to go off and realize their dreams as well. And if you kind of think about it, each kid that receives either a scholarship or a grant is going to know who Dane Balcon is. And then they're going to tell their kids. And
right.
I'm just hoping to kind of keep that alive. And Dane is buried at Fort Logan. And I know you had someone on from Fort Logan earlier. And so I attended the full military, and it was the complete. And at the time when he passed, there was a lot of those types of funerals
yeah.
going on. But he still had the full military honors. And it's just... Memorial Day for me, growing up, it was still always about, it's time to go to the
yeah.
beach, and it's a great party time, hit the lake. But now it definitely takes on a more somber time for me. I try to get up to see Dane. I do leave a penny. Don't let
okay, wait.
Know.
Now, we talked about this with Dave Roberts from Fort Logan National Cemetery. He was so kind to come on the show earlier. And I asked him about the coin thing, and he said, well, you know, we discourage the leaving of anything on the headstones, but let's be real. Let's
yeah.
talk about what the coins are, first of all.
So you will typically see a penny, a nickel, a dime, or a quarter. And each step up is another level of how you know the deceased. A penny means you knew them, so I leave a penny.
Mm-hmm.
A nickel means you went to basic training together. A dime means that you were in that same unit together. And a quarter means that you were with the deceased when they were killed in action or died on active duty. And so, it's one of those things that I don't think you can ever, I don't think service members are ever going to stop doing that. Because
uh-uh.
when a brother or sister in arms has fallen, that takes, as I said, when we come home, and we transitioned into the civilian world. I had another friend that was killed on deployment too. That was my husband's co-pilot. And I still remember the day he showed up in the squadron, and he was wearing a white t-shirt, which is unheard of in the heavy world, the heavy aircraft world. And he was wearing his Tom Cruise sunglasses. He had his flight suit sleeves pulled up over his elbows as if he were a fighter pilot. And I still remember that kid showing up. And I say kid, he was like maybe 4 years younger than me.
Yeah.
But at the time, just based off of flying, he was a kid. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that, you know, he's now buried at the Air Force Academy, and I went to his funeral too. All of these things just kind of shape how you view the world, how you view things like Memorial Day, how you view the flag and the treatment of the flag, and why it means so much, because you've had friends or loved ones or someone that you've known come home under that flag.
Yeah.
And to see a mother accepting that flag that draped her son's coffin before he was buried, it leaves a mark in you. And this is a somber time, but I also am the wine yogi. So I'm also Irish. So I'm not one to dwell on things. I am much more about toasting someone that's passed and, you know, pouring out a little for my homies. And so that's why I wanted to pick veteran owned businesses that also give back to families like my friend Carla.
All right. Let's get cracking on it because we don't have that much time and there's a crap ton of booze in this house right now. Now, what have we already done? We already did 5 wines.
We did.
Okay, so the first two out of
Blanchard
Wine. Oh.
Blanchard Family Wines,
delicious.
Which their tasting room is in the Dairy Block in Denver.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. It is such a cool place, cool location. You can grab dinner. You can go taste wine. Most of their grapes right now are sourced out of Healdsburg in Sonoma County out
in California.
Mm-hmm. But they are going to be expanding and hope to have a Colorado wine out of the Grand Valley AVA soon.
Good.
So they are looking to come back. But it's two brothers. One brother was a Air Force Academy grad. And while his brother was out in California, James was like sitting around, you know, I'm stationed here. I'm flying around and looking at stuff. So they kind of fell into the wine business. And once he got out of the Air Force, they decided sitting out, having a glass of wine, smoking cigars, now's the time. So I actually came across them a long time ago with another friend of mine who is a retired intelligence officer, and he's a wine distributor. And he introduced me to Blanchard Wines. So I brought in their Viognier, which they just released. They just had their release party this week. And their newest rosé, it's a rosé of Garnacha. So again, we're coming into that rosé season. I realize Colorado weather has decided we are not ready
for rosé. We're just going to have winter for forever.
We're going to have cold and rain on Memorial Day weekend. But, you know, I believe in rosé the day away all year round. So I brought in a gorgeous rosé. Both of these wines are delightful. You can sip them on their own. They would be great especially if you're grilling chicken or any type of pork. The Grenache would hold up against even, say, barbecue ribs. And again, rosés are what red wine drinkers drink in the summertime when it's too hot to have something so heavy and so full-bodied.
These are both delicious. Like, I would drink either of these at any given moment. They are wonderful.
And
the Viognier and the rosé from Blanchard Family Wines, big thumbs up. Perfect for summer.
And on my blog post, I only included the rosé because I hadn't tried the Viognier yet. But as soon as I had it, I was like, oh my God, I got to take this. They also have an amazing Pinot. I tried their Pinot and I took the Pinot home too. I couldn't walk out of there without enjoying that gorgeous Pinot. I had it with some Elevation, which is a local charcuterie salami, sea salt, and compared to a black pepper salami. And with that Pinot, freaking amazing and fantastic.
And then Crystal tried to trick me.
I did.
By bringing me 3 wines and making me do a blind tasting.
Yep.
And I'd like to point out that one of those glasses is empty. The other two have still stuff in them.
I'm proud of you. I almost teared up.
But the first one was not horrible. I didn't mind it. It was not horrible. I could drink that first one.
So trust me, that's the same time when you meet that guy at that high school party. And he wasn't horrible to you, and you accept the second date, and you go out on a date with him, and he's going to let you down. Because his name is Lodi. And in this case, it's a cab sab from Lodi.
Yeah, it is. We're not going to give the names of those out. What is the middle one, though? The middle one was the bomb. It was really good.
The middle one is Bull's Blood. It's a Hungarian wine. It's
my people.
Yeah, that's why I brought it. It's what was in my glass as well, because I can't
drink
the Lodi wine.
No, that was very. And it's the kind of red wine that does not necessarily need to be had with food. Some red wine, you got to pair it up with. Honestly, some white wine, too. I have to pair up with some. This is a very drinkable. The Bull's Blood is very drinkable. And
it's very balanced.
Yeah, you can enjoy it with food, without food. It was very tasty.
And our third one was also from Lodi, because so the first one is a Cab Sav from Lodi, a light Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah.
Normally they want to amp up the tannins, but when you have winemakers coming out of Lodi, they really want to emphasize their terroir. It's what they're known for.
The dirt.
Yes, the dirt and what goes in up through the vines into the grapes, into the fruit. And for me, it's extremely floral and it has a lavender profile. So it's almost like soap to me, both right. on the nose, and it's like cheap soap to me. And a lot.
Are you that way with cilantro too?
I am that way. It is a
gene. I wonder if there's a connection.
There is a connection. It's a gene that you have. If folks who don't like cilantro because it tastes like soap in your mouth, or don't like lavender because it turns to soap in your mouth, that is a genetic trait.
See, I did not. The first wine, the Cab Sav that we're talking about now, I could not put my finger on what that taste was. And when you said lavender, I was like, oh yes, that is what that taste is. I don't mind that. It's just.
Not everybody can handle it.
Yeah, it's not my choice. And then the last one just didn't taste like anything to me.
And that's more of it's petite petite, so yeah. Petite Verdot and Petite Syrah. It's really heavy on the jam component.
Yeah.
And so
I don't think the third one didn't have enough going on for me.
And that's, again, Lodi wants to emphasize terroir a lot of times.
Right.
I think at the sacrifice of the fruit.
Okay.
For me, that's just my opinion. But I brought them in because you had an article on the blog about how you can't say you hate things. And
I think I disagreed with the fact that you can't say you hate things.
You did,
because I used you as an example.
I firmly believe, yes, I can say it tastes like soap in my mouth. Why would I want to drink something that turns, whether it's all just subliminal kind of thing, because I have this trait when I actually consume lavender and cilantro, when I smell it, it just, my mouth immediately and my palate registers, oh, this is going to taste like soap.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to kind of let go of that programming. And that's why each palate is unique. The people who can enjoy Lodi, I'm kind of jealous of them, because there is a
region. They love cilantro too.
There's a region in this world, and there's a particular grape, Tarantes, out of South.
Oh, I love Tarantes.
Yeah, I can't drink that either because it's lavender.
Oh, I love that wine. That's one of my favorite grapes.
No, I can't do it.
Also, we have not mentioned, by the way, we did do a Facebook Live page. Yes, Dave?
Yes, I think the Wine Yogi has discovered my problem.
What's your problem?
I don't have the wine gene.
There's not a wine gene.
Yeah, but I think there is one now.
Dave was with us. Dave and Chuck and Sylvia and I went to the fort and had a lovely evening. And Holly was kind enough to send over an extraordinarily good bottle of wine.
He texted it to me.
Yes, and it was outstanding. And Dave, did you enjoy that bottle of wine?
I don't remember.
You did. You lied if you didn't. You said you did when we were
did?
At the fort.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
he's like, yes.
It was so good. He doesn't remember.
It was a really good bottle of wine. Let me do this. Tony, you need to call back on Tuesday, my friend. I haven't talked to you in forever. He just sent a message. Is he on the line now? Okay. No. You call back on Tuesday. I want to talk to you. But right now, we're going to talk to Kathy Walker and find out what's coming up in her news. Frosty Friday, the Wine Yogi in the house. First of all, we've got a bunch of moonshine. She just made me drink all of it, but I saved, Dave, the one that is 100 proof. I saved it to taste on the air so you could have the joy of me watching me drink something that is 50% alcohol. So,
okay.
So, but first we got to talk about some food, because Crystal always brings food because she's going to get me drunk, so she has to feed me as well. And since there's not a Crystal Burger or a Bojangles, which we can both identify with. Oh, hang on. I got to turn you back up. My bad on that. Okay. Then we have to make sure that she brings me food. What do we have today? We have Wagyu sliders that are incredible.
Because it's National Hamburger Day.
Yeah.
And so if you sign up to receive the newsletter from the French Kitchen, you would have known, and on Thirsty Thursday, had we had it yesterday, that yesterday was the last day to order the toppings that Blondine, the owner of the French Kitchen, puts together. They had three choices for your burgers this weekend. Yeah, they're fabulous.
If you're in the Springs, here's what I would do if I were you. I would call the wine gallery right now. The French Kitchen right now, and say, I just heard about these toppings on the Mandy Connell Show, and you have to let me buy them. And see what they say.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you know, you never know, because they are delish. And then there's like these grown up hot pockets.
Yeah. That's, so that's Frion. And the one I brought
Frion.
The one I brought was a Chev, chili and pork and lime. filled hot pocket, but it's in puff pastry. And so it doesn't burn the roof of your mouth like hot pockets do.
Super good.
But it is super good. And there's lots of different flavors that they have available for the friands.
And we went through the food very quickly on our Facebook Live that we did on the last break, the break before this last one. And so you can actually see all of it if you go to my Facebook page at Mandy Connell and see it for yourself. So there you go. Now, let's get into the shine, because Crystal brought in moonshine. And I talked about the fact that in my childhood, not when I was little, but a teen, I've had moonshine and it's horrible. And it's like drinking fire and it's like punishment.
And there's a reason why people went blind, died.
Sure.
It's because there are certain stages of things you have to discard when you're distilling, particularly moonshine. And I like to think of moonshine as being kind of the ultimate MacGyvered spirit.
Do it yourself.
Yeah. You're bored. You're deployed in Afghanistan. Your name is Mike and you're working in explosive ordnance disposal. You come across an IED, an improvised explosive device. You remove the explosives, but you have a pressure cooker left. And, you know, it always reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in The Great Escape where dreamy, Steve McQueen and, I've had too much moonshine already.
But moving on.
Okay, Jim Varner.
Character, yes.
All right, so we're on the 4th of July, they had distilled all those potatoes.
Right.
And they gave it to the British soldiers. And mm-hmm. It's a great scene in The Great Escape. But Mike, the owner of 3 Days of Sunshine down in Monument, fell into it. He was bored. He took some root beer, took some yeast. He had this disassembled
bomb
that he turned in, you know, used the pressure cooker to turn it into moonshine. So he got really interested in it. He really is proud of the fact he doesn't know anything about chemistry. But he knows.
Now, that's a typical military man right there. And they're like proud of what they don't know about chemistry. Well, I got to tell you, he knows something.
He knows something because the first time I went there, I was like, wow, this is really good. And then I just kept tasting my way through all of these different. And it's beet. It's 100% beet sugar. And so I took my husband back because he has such massive food allergies. All bourbon and a lot of whiskeys and
anything
scotches.
Anything with corn mash
he can't have. This is all stuff he can drink. And we're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So we started out with some of the lighter, what I consider lighter, 40-proof moonshines. 40-proof. That he has, and they are sold in mason jars.
And here's the thing.
Awesome.
All of these, so we started with the strawberry lemonade.
Yep.
Then we went to, what order did we do?
Lime and shine.
The lime and shine, y'all.
It's like margarita.
You could throw this over rocks and put salt on it, and people would not know, except it's not as sweet as a margarita. It just has that nice lime kind of flavor to it.
Gorgeous. And in fact,
it is good.
If you go to 300 Days of Shine there in Monument, you can actually... they have mixed drinks
over rocks. You can just
old fashions, all kinds of things that they use the moonshine and their bourbons and whiskeys that they also have, which I didn't even get.
We're
to
totally
those.
Doing a field trip to this
yes,
place.
Yes, we have to.
Yeah.
So the lime and shine. So those are both things that they have pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. Lime and shine is annual, all the time. Then I tried you on the guava, honey guava.
I don't love the flavor of guava. And if you like the flavor of guava, you will love this summer release.
And
it tastes just like guava.
And it's called Summer Heat. And it does have, because it has the habanero on there, it's a subtle heat. It's not like that burning alcohol flavor. And again, these are 40 proof. So they're easy sipping. Throw it over some ice. If it's a little too strong, you can always add in some sparkling water or even, you know, some soda that you would like just to kind of, you know,
Water it out a little bit.
Water them down if it's too strong. But
that would be my problem is I would do that lime over ice.
I do. I have.
And I would be like, this is delicious. Let's have another one. Yep. It's sneaky because it doesn't burn like regular moonshine.
Say
that.
And then we're going to move into some of the kind of better known in terms of receiving awards and things. And peach cobbler and the apple pie are some of their favorites.
Very, 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 very delicious. Both of these. Extremely very yummy, delicious.
Mandy?
Yes, Dave?
This is no fun. I wanted to see you drink liquid fire.
I've got it right here, Dave. I've got it. We're getting there. We're almost there.
Is that the real thing?
This is the 100 proof that we're about to get to right now.
That's
I'm swirling.
What I want to see.
I'm swirling it in my glass
right now.
And I told Dave I saved this one. I've already tasted the rest of them. But I saved this one after the apple pie and the peach cobbler because this is the 100 proof. Now, what is this one? This is like Fireball.
It is like Fireball, and I would say it's a better quality than Fireball.
That's
as
cinnamon,
well.
Dave. Fireball cinnamon.
And
liquor.
So it's Firebomb 100 proof. So what he does is he makes the moonshine from that beet, 100% beet sugar, and that's his mash, and distills it, and then he infuses it with things.
Holy cow!
I wish you guys could see this.
That is the fire of my youth right there, man.
And that's wow. That's 100 proof. And I tried giving you the almond trails. That will sweet cut Dang. The burn. Here, have a bite of that.
Wow.
Sweet cuts
the burn. A little more, Mandy? A little more?
I would probably finish that.
And honestly, if you were to add that into hard cider, that's when you start getting into the Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The
butterbeer stuff.
Butterbeer stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could totally do some butterbeer with this moonshine.
You could make anything you make with Fireball, shot-wise. I think that's better than Fireball. It's way not
better.
Syrupy.
It's also, you do have a little bit of that burn, but to me, it's a balance between the cinnamon and the sugar and that alcohol.
Oh, no,
presence.
I felt that go. I felt every drop of that go from my mouth to my throat to my esophagus to my stomach, where it is now in my stomach going, hey, anybody want a party? That's what's happening right now with that. That has some, woo.
Well, kick. It's 100 proof. It has kick.
Yeah.
And now we're going to move on to
a
different distiller. Also, this guy is also enlisted, former enlisted Air Force, and he was an aircraft maintenance guy. He did a lot of metallurgy and
I'm not tasting this straight. I'm putting a little olive juice in it because that's where I live with this.
The sheet metal, but this is called his distillery is Cockpit Distillery.
Mm-hmm.
And Cockpit Craft Distillery, sorry. And Calder is the owner of. There's two locations. There's one in Falcon and one down by Peterson.
Oh, that's really good.
And it's really cool because, and it's not just vodka. He also has bourbon. He has a whiskey.
This is very smooth.
Whiskey. He has, I think his vodka is extremely smooth. That's the one I tried. I know you're not a big rum fan. He also has rum.
I had a bad experience with
rum. He does a sweet tea rum that was delightful. And I had their mojito just the other day. Fabulous. So lots of different options to choose at his distillery. What's really cool.
That's very tasty. That has a nice smooth finish to it. It's not, there's none of that. Some vodkas have a really chemical aftertaste to me.
And especially Russian vodkas are going to have more of the kerosene note.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, I just didn't know what it was.
And it's more of that jet fuel kerosene note.
Yeah, this is good.
But this Calder has, like I said, both locations are very cool. And Mike's location there in Monument at 300 Days, it's an homage to, in the case of Mike, bootleg distillers, and military. And then also in Calder's case at Cockpit Craft, there's freaking, you sit at Wings for your bar. And I, of course, as a pilot, I absolutely love it. I made my husband go. I'm like, oh, you got to go look at this. Look, he's taking sheet metal and he's made his bars. They're like, you're
now you guys need to go to El Avion, the restaurant we went to in Costa Rica that has one of the planes from the Iran-Contra gate in it, in the restaurant.
There you go.
It's really, really cool.
It's always fun.
Crystal, this was outstanding. And I was fully prepared to not like the moonshine. I went into the moonshine tasting thinking, I remember that burn from my teen years, and this is nothing like this. This feels like this is the difference between a Model T and a current Lamborghini.
And it all goes back to also knowing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And versus just, I'm going to make my own liquor, and knowing that there are certain things like the first part of the distillation process, that is the poison.
Right.
You got to get rid of that. And then the last bit of it is not really the quality stuff either. It's kind of like the heart of it is where you want to actually pull that for processing and turning into a spirit. The rest of it is, if you don't know what you're doing, that's why it's so easy to go blind or to die.
To kill yourself.
Isn't that what used to happen during Prohibition?
Yes. Yes, because bathtub gin was poison. It was ethyl alcohol, and it killed a lot of people. This is not going to kill anyone.
No.
You know what? We've got to get the distiller on the show, because I want to know about this whole moonshine process. I want to know if they have a version of the General Lee. If they're out jumping, you know, mountains and
maybe
stuff, like running away from the fuzz.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm excited because this is very interesting to me because I'm shocked. That's the word I'm using. I'm shocked at how good this moonshine is.
But please, give these guys a call. Look them up. I've included on my blog links to all of these
And
places.
I put a link to her blog on my blog so you can easily find it. Or you can just go to IamTheWineYogi.com. That is her website. She always puts everything that we have talked about in a blog post. So if you're driving or whatever, all you have to do is go check it out and you can take it with you to liquor store. I do that.
For example, a lot of these are distributed at different liquor stores. the food that we had.
Wait,
we didn't even talk about the
pickles and the jalapenos, and we have to do that right now.
Okay.
The same guys who make the moonshine also make candied jalapenos, which honestly, I think everybody in the world has some kind of food that is like their crack cocaine,
yes,
right? Like whatever, maybe it's chips, maybe it's chocolate, whatever. Candied jalapenos are my crack cocaine. I eat them on everything. Everything. Eggs, meat, it doesn't matter. I eat them on everything. I love them.
I saw your posting the other day, too.
Heine Brothers.
Tis the season, Heine Brothers. I'm like, well, let me introduce you to something.
Girl, I already have like 10 bottles of Heine Brothers, and now I have to add those. They have sweet hot pickles as well that are ridiculously good.
They're giving Wickles a run for their money.
Oh, I'm sold.
They also have pickled garlic. They have their own Bloody Mary mixes there, and they also have a pasta sauce there.
I feel
too.
A field trip coming
I
on.
I do too.
Yep. Anyway, now it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day, Speed Edition. Who's with us today, Dragon?
I think it's just me. I've texted BK.
And
he
we've got Crystal.
We got Crystal.
I'm here. I'm ready to lose.
All right. We're ready to rock and roll. What's the word of the day, Dave?
Okay. Word of the day is a verb today, and it is nictate. N-I-C-T-A-T-E. Nictate.
N-I-C-T. Nictate. Nictate is to not write down what someone's saying.
I'll give you a clue. This is a tough one.
Okay.
It has to do with the eye.
With the eye?
Yes.
That's plucking out eyelashes.
It is the room. It is something to do with the, the cornea.
Eyebrows.
Anyone?
No, it means to blink.
Oh, come on!
Yeah,
obvious if you really think about it.
You must resist the urge. You must resist the urge to nictate to win a staring contest.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. In the United States, April 12th is a national day for what kind of sandwich? I'm guessing PB&J.
I'm guessing Philly cheesesteak.
Well, the Elvis sandwich, the peanut butter and banana.
Oh, that's a good one, but totally wrong. Oh. It's Grilled Cheese Day. National Grilled Cheese Day is celebrated annually on April 12th.
Should have done today for National Hamburger Day.
I'm on the wrong day on the calendar. All right, what's our Jeopardy category, Dave?
Okay, you have a choice. Animal common bonds, stupid answers, or three-letter words.
How about animal common bonds?
You got it. Here we go.
Wait, tell Dragon what it is, because he hasn't played. And Crystal,
I don't know if she's played this category.
What's this category?
Okay, I'm going to name three things, and you tell me what animal is in common with all three.
Gotcha.
Okay.
What animal is in common with the three?
Yeah, just listen.
Weird.
Yeah.
Explain
it. Manual answer the first one, we'll get the number.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Shepherk, Borzai, Bichon Frise.
Mandy, what are dogs?
Yes. Mm. Correct. Okay. Now you got the idea?
Got it.
Yep.
Okay. Next one, Jersey, Red Pole,
Mandy.
Angus.
What are cows?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one. Bushmaster, coral, or hognose?
Crystal.
What are snakes?
Crystal.
Yeah, Crystal's
coming. Yeah. 2-1. Bufflehead, eider, or teal?
Bufflehead, eider, or teal. Mandy?
I would never
guess. What are fish?
This. Yes. Nope.
What are fish? Nope.
No, that ties it up.
Dang it. Come on, you two chickens.
Let's just say chicken. Yeah, let's just say chickens. Come on.
Okay.
What are chickens?
Nope.
Duh.
What are ducks? You were close.
Oh, you were so close, Dragon.
Okay, and finally, green tree, leopard, or bull?
Mandy, what are frogs?
Mandy, you are the winner.
You can find the Wine Yogi's blog at iamthewineyogi.com. I would strongly urge you to go and really give some of these veteran-owned businesses a try because, as she said, so many of them don't just do business. They also give back to the people who have served the country, and why not? And they're making incredible product.
Yes.
I can attest to that.
Yes.
There wasn't really a loser among us today.
I don't think so.
No.
Other than the wines from Lodi.
Yeah, we'll just pretend that didn't happen. We will be back on Tuesday. We have special programming on Monday. I hope that you guys all have a very happy and safe weekend. Take a moment, at least, to remember why we have the day off on Monday and maybe spend some time having a conversation with your loved ones about that. It would be phenomenal if you did. Until then, we're going to hand the station over to Big Alan JoJo. Thank you, Dragon, for sitting in for Coover today. We appreciate you as always. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend and keep it on KOA News Radio.